Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cold Hard Truth Podcast. I'm Jack Smith.
I'm Shrikar Rajendran.
And I'm Anish Gupta.
And Merry Christmas. It's the recording this 3 days before everyone's happy day or happy holidays as well. But the Cold Hard Truth Christmas special episode. It's a special episode because last week was absolutely wild. One of the longest football weeks we've had in a very long time because of COVID postponements and rescheduling and everything like that. And just long because each game was kind of painfully etched into our brains as we had to watch it. It was a tough week for picks, a tough week for fantasy, but we're going to get into all of that and hopefully have a little bit of Christmas cheer throughout. But before we get into that, guys, how was your last football weekend?
That was great. I had a lot of fun. I went to Levi Stadium, went to the Niner game, and had a good time there, got to watch other games, and yeah, overall, it was a nice, fun week. Picks also went really well. Wouldn't say I clinched it just yet, but I mean, trending that way. But great week.
Do I even have – this is so unfair. Well, first off, you can tell that my voice is pretty much gone. It was a lot worse yesterday. But yeah, that Browns game took years off my life. I was telling these two earlier. Season's over. And I can't even, I'm not going to, I remember in 2019, I gave Jack like a list of playoff scenarios that the Browns could have made it at like 6-7. I'm not even going to try and do it this year. It's over. It's done. Okay. We have to go. My Christmas is going to be spoiled by a dominating loss to the Green Bay Packers. Okay. It's probably going to happen. And we lost because of COVID. We lost because of a dude named Daniel Carlson. Nick Mullins, I love you. I will forever love you. You played your heart out. Oh God, dude, it sucks. It really sucks. And then picks were terrible. As long as Jamicky doesn't win, I think Shrikar and I are happy with that. And Jack won't bet with me on getting last because he's afraid. You know, I'm calling him out publicly. I'm trying to tell him, you know, bet $10 that I'll, you know, what is it? Usurp him?
Usurp him
in the last 3 weeks. But he won't let me. So, you know, hopefully he takes that bet on. But yeah, just stay faithful with me. I will come back. And yeah, we will make sure that Jamicky finishes last.
I know you're in the giving spirit and you want to like give me $10 for Christmas. I understand. Yeah. I just, you know, I don't want to see you give up your money like that. And I know that no matter what happens, if we have money on it, the more important thing is going to be the bragging rights. As I can tell by last week's episode, if you haven't seen that already, you can go watch like the last 10 minutes of that one to see what I'm talking about. But yeah, last week it was kind of brutal. Not great for the Jets, the Browns. Niners got a win, but picks especially. Like Shrikar had a great week and Anish and I had some pretty cruddy weeks.
Because of Shrikar, some dumb stuff too, like yeah, Teddy B's injury.
Drew Lock coming in. And then fantasy did not go well either. I was telling these guys before the show, I ended up losing by 1.9 or 1.8 points. Had the Philly defense and they dropped a pick that would have won me the game, got me to win by like 0.2 on the last drive of the game. And the only reason I got passed up is because there were two rinky-dink checkdowns for 3 yards and 5 yards to Antonio Gibson on Washington's last drive that just sold the season.
At least you didn't go first-round exit in five
of your seven. That was first-round exit in both of the
– yeah, no, but in five of seven. Five of seven. All seven leagues I made the playoffs, and in five of them, first-round exit. In the it hurts.
I'm lucky I had the first-round
exit. I didn't have a bad loss like that. I didn't have a bad loss like that, but, like, just it hurts, you know, to go, like, 10-3, 8-5, and, like, half of them. And, you know, have the season kind of end like that. It was just a terrible week of fantasy. Remember, like, it was like a thing that I saw was like Tyler Huntley scored more than like Gronk, Cooper, Najee, Kamara, Brady combined. Like, what?
Yeah. Do you know who the running back one was in fantasy?
Was it Reynolds? Craig Reynolds?
It was Duke Johnson.
Duke Johnson.
Yeah. Duke Johnson. Because of course.
Corbin Brown. Yeah.
Because of course.
2021.
Right? Got a lot. I mean, that's why fantasy football is it giveth and it taketh away. And it's a, especially bad when it comes to the playoffs, but we're going to try and keep it holly and jolly as we get into our takeaways. Who wants to start it off?
I'll get us started.
Hey, don't blame me for trying to
hence the set of hat. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Jack saying holly and jolly was very funny.
How about Mary? How about that?
Yeah.
All right, little episode.
That's good enough, but
let's get right into
Titans.
It.
Let's talk about the Titans. I watched that game condensed. Look, the Titans outgained the Steelers by almost double. They allowed only one touchdown. They held Pittsburgh to 35 rushing yards and 12 first downs, and they still lost. And this goes to show turnovers. Winning the turnover battle is so key. Four turnovers, three of which came in a 10-play span in the second half, just sent them to their doom. And it's a painful loss for the Titans because now you're still in control of the AFC South, but the Colts, man, the Colts are creeping up. But now you're third in the AFC playoff picture as a whole. And, you know, you're 9-5. You're a game back of the Chiefs, who they beat back in week 7 in dominating fashion. So it's crazy how the tides turn there. But with this loss, I think the Titans have a very tough climb back to that AFC bye because it could be massive in a variety of ways, including whether Tennessee can be healthy in January. Because the Titans are hoping Derrick Henry is returned by then. A.J. Brown, he's a game-time decision for tomorrow. It looks like Julio Jones is back. So they should be healthy, but both have dealt with injuries all year. So I think having that week off would be so big instead of playing in wild card weekend. So that's why, you know, as a Titans fan, you better be hoping you get that bye. But the Titans practically handed the Steelers that game, a key game at that. And with that, they gave up a big opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason kind of why, like, I took Pittsburgh at home. They win these type of games. They win these gritty, sloppy, you know, like nosedive football, like hard, you know, physical games. They always win it. They find a different way. And it's usually their defense in the last, you know, few years, usually it would be their offense. But this, you know, these past few years, it's been their defense. And, you know, in typical Steelers fashion, they went off a Joe Hayden tackle. Joe Schober got a pick, turned the tide, right? They were down, I think, 10-0 or 13-3. And, you know, they come all the way back, right? And, you know, they win these like 19-16, you know, 19-13 games. It's what they do. And, you know, they're still in the thick of the playoff race, right? You know, anything can happen because the entire AFC North still has to play each other, right? So, you know, anything can happen. But, you know, they've got a little bit of hope. I mean, they do have to play the Chiefs this week. So, kudos, good luck. But, you know, for the Titans, they have literally every tiebreaker you could want. They have the division tiebreaker and they have literally, you know, every playoff tiebreaker they could want with all the teams that are fighting for it, except the Pats. But, you know, that game was there for the taking. If they take it, they get the AFC's number one seed. And as Shrikar mentioned, the implications and the importance of that one seed for them. I'm not going to get into it with all the injuries and stuff because, you know, we're still going to fear them when they get Henry back. We all still have to fear them, but it would be great to, you know, avoid that wild card weekend, especially because you know what happens, ton of upsets happen that weekend. So it would have been great to avoid, but I will say this, I think, you know, taking it away for the Titans, those Colts, they're creeping up and they're looking a lot more dangerous than the Titans right now. I feel like just the Titans their offense just can't put them in position to win these type of games anymore without Derrick Henry. And it sucks because, you know, Ryan Tannehill has had his slumps a little bit, but, you know, he's still winning, you know, for them. He still won a couple of games. That Rams game, he did enough. But yeah, you know, I know we're seeing, I guess, the results that Tannehill is just not elite. So it sucks for, you know, a Tennessee team that really has a lot of pieces to win it. I think the main takeaway from that game is just we don't know what they will be like. We don't know what they're going to look like for the rest of these 3 weeks. And that could be a little bit concerning considering if they skid, right? Teams can really creep up on them. So I believe they play the Niners and the Dolphins, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, teams can really creep up on them and they have to play the Texans again and the Texans beat them last time. So all bets are off with that team too. So all I'm going to say is I think the biggest takeaway from that is just a lot of uncertainty with this Titans team, which sucks because, you know, after their win against the Chiefs, we were pretty confident in, you know, what this team looked like.
Yeah, I remember, like, I think back to 4 or 5 weeks ago, your takeaway about the Titans, and we were having a discussion about, like, can you right now put down money or, you know, put down your prediction on the table that they're going to have the one seed? And I was like, Yep. You know, I feel like they are in the prime position. They are in an absolutely perfect spot. They should completely have the one seed locked up at this point. But at the same time, I was thinking, and I think we both were, I think that was the one Shrikar had to miss. This team, like, I just don't know, like, can you actually trust them to go out and win the games they're supposed to and actually have the one seed, let alone, you know, win in the playoffs and maybe even get to or win the Super Bowl. And we were both kind of skeptical. We were like, I don't know, like, without Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill is, we wanted to believe in him, but at the same time, we hadn't seen it before. Now we have. And I think there's a lot more questions right now about this Titans squad than there probably should be for a team that has a shot at getting the one seed. And I feel like even if they get the one seed, I would not be surprised. And I'd not be surprised or not be surprised if they lost that game after the bye, let alone, I don't think I'd be surprised if they were not favored in that game. Like right now, I think the Titans are a little bit of a mess, but they're a mess that's like in a actually good spot to possibly go out and still win the one seed in the AFC, which as we've seen this year is a really tough task considering the AFC has been just decimating itself all season.
It's a dogfight.
It's a dogfight. And I guess like the Titans are that one dog that really looked like, you know, it was with that rich family. It had everything and it's kind of fallen off the wayside a little bit, but it's got a little bit of scrappiness to it. Like, I don't know what to think about the Titans right now. And I feel like we're in that same position that we were in a couple of weeks ago. But now you're kind of looking at it from the outside in. They're not in the lead in the AFC. They're not in, you know, they don't control their own destiny quite as much as they did back then. Yep. So right now, I think right now I would say Titans are not going to get the one seed. I'd probably lean towards the Chiefs.
Yeah, agreed.
But they also could be getting Julio Jones back, getting AJ Brown back, possibly even getting Derrick Henry back at some point. So who knows? I think it's kind of up in the air, but as of right now, I'm leaning a little bit more towards the skeptical side.
I'll give you a question. Wait, let me throw out a question for you too. Yeah. This is kind of a combined one, right? So since they do play the Niners and the Dolphins, right? Let's say they skid. Do you think the division is really in jeopardy? And then also, would you throw in Derrick Henry week 18? You know, a little bit early, would you try and rush him to, you know, really solidify that win against the Texans and kind of get, you know, keep that division crown? What would you do?
So they're up on the Colts.
Currently, yeah.
They hold the tiebreaker. So the Colts need to leap them by like a full game.
So they basically need the Titans to go 1-2 and the Colts need to win out.
Yeah.
But the Colts schedule is much easier aside from the Cardinals game. They have, I think, two pretty easy wins. So
tough matchup against the Cardinals. You got the Raiders and Jags after. So yeah,
which I think
they should win both of those.
Mm-hmm. Would you throw Henry into the fire, I think? And then also, should they be worried about not just one seed, but the division right now?
It depends how far along he is in recovery. I think that's what I'd say. If he's like 75% of the way there, especially in a divisional game where things are going to get weird, I think you can throw him in. If he's at like 50, rest him. I'd say rest him. Because even without Henry, I still think the Titans have a decent shot to beat the Texans. Because, I mean, Houston's off. It's a divisional game, but Houston's, you know, they're susceptible to, you know, letting a guy other than Henry, you know, run up on them, especially a guy like Dante Foreman. So I think it just depends how far along he is in his recovery.
They've been successfully running the ball. Like, I feel like that's something that
they're still a physically imposing team without him.
Foreman and Hilliard have been just fine. I mean, obviously they haven't given that game changing game breaking ability, but they've been good.
They're serviceable. I also think
we need to note that even when Henry comes back, he's not going to have he's not gonna be able to have the same workload in the regular season. So he's not going to be the same kind of like, he's the same talent, but he's not going to be the same like brute force as he probably will be. Cause he's not going to have the 30 carries to wear down the opposing defense.
Derrick Henry. Like, are you guys saying that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he will. I think they'll give him 30. If they rush him, I agree with you, but I mean, in the playoff game, right? I think all bets are off.
I'm talking about week 18. Like,
And
I think in the playoffs, they're still going to be hesitant to give him that, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we saw throughout the season, he's much more effective in carry 16 through 30 than he is in 1 through 15, because 1 through 15 is when he's just kind of like puts his head down and he makes the defensive players just kind of not want to get
down
hit
over time.
For carry 16 through 30. I think we need to note that the fact that the Houston Texans are not going to want to win in week 18. So...
I don't think there's any.
No, you never know. Do they want to play spoiler? Because you know,
it's a divisional matchup.
Yeah, you still got to fight.
The Jets, it's the one seed,
the Browns to, you know, give up on T-Law. So
I mean, it's a possibility to like get a higher pick in the draft. Like, I don't know.
But even then, you're kind of playing the what if game a little bit too much.
Yeah, you're right.
It's too hypothetical. Mm-hmm. So as of right now, I'd just say it depends on his recovery. That's all.
Yeah, I think either way, I think you prioritize the playoffs. And because I think by that point, I expect them to have clinched a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think I'd be throwing him out there to risk re-injury and even, you know, an injury that can set him back for next season, just for week 18, just for a divisional matchup.
Mm-hmm. And even as a wild card team, like, you got to think the Titans with Henry can put up a great fight against anyone in the AFC. Yeah. So I think they should feel confident. They're a well-coached squad with Mike Vrabel. I think even if you want to focus towards the playoffs, I think you'll be fine. So
I think, yeah, playoffs should be number one right now.
Yeah,
division,
it should be.
Division should be, I mean, which they probably will go hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and again, yeah, the one seed seems a little bit out of reach, but if the Chiefs, you know, squander one game, right, and the Titans win out, then, mm-hmm. you know, they'll get it, but we'll see. I mean,
but they should be worried, I think, for the division. To answer your first question, I think they should definitely be worried. The Colts,
100%.
I think they've got a good chance about the against the Cardinals. We'll get into that later when we pick the games, yep. but they should definitely be worried because right now the Colts are one of the hottest teams in the league.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Walk it to them.
Anish.
Yeah, I mean, your takeaway kind of coincides with Trigar, considering mm-hmm. they play each other this week.
Yeah, you want me to get into it?
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, I've been teasing the Niners a lot this year, but you know, one thing I can't deny is I've always kind of had faith in this team in the sense, like, you know, I had them 10-7 coming into the year. I mean, they're a good team. I thought the Kyle Shanahan hot seat rumors were just stupid. Yes, I do think he's a little bit overrated, but there's no way he should have been fired. Okay, that was dumb. And after a 3-5 start, what are they now? 8-6, and they yep. have looked incredible. And my takeaway, and takeaway is that the Niners have been playing like the best team, the single best team in the NFC West. I'm not going to say in the NFL, I'm not going to say in the NFC, but in their division, yes. I think it's safe to say right now. I think they've reaped 3-5, 8-6, so that's 5 of their last 6 games. They played some incredible football, especially running the ball. And, you know, again, George Kittle has been on an absolute tear. Like, this guy has been, I call him George Brittle for a little bit of fun, but this guy has been, you know, I think he has the tied for the most touchdowns in the league since he's been back from injury.
And he's missed games.
Yeah. So this guy has been unstoppable. And then, you know, my dog Debo, right? Most versatile weapon in the league. You know, I had a friend who called him a glorified LaVisca Chenault when he came out of the league. Yeah. That take's not looking so good. So I clown him about it every night. A friend of mine off air.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you were insinuating.
Jack never went that far.
I'm like,
it wasn't Jack. Jack never went that far, but you know, I bet he was thinking it a little bit. But yeah, the Niners have been looking really good. And I think, look, any NFC team needs to fear them because they've shown also that they can win these, you know, close games on the road. I think that Bengals win was huge considering that you had injuries in the secondary, right? You know, again, kind of short man, and you go in there despite having to face a trio of receivers in Higgins, Boyd, and Jamar Chase, and you still hold up your own, right? And Jimmy G, as I've tried to tell Shrikar, is a good quarterback and can win right now. So I think the Niners should be, you know, have a little bit of confidence coming in, and them and the Colts, those are the two teams, you know, in their respective conferences that you do not want to face on wild card weekend. You just don't.
Yeah, I think that my preseason, I guess, take on the Niners is I think it's starting to form. I said that they were going to have a good season, but just miss out on the division to the Rams. I just thought the Rams would probably be a better regular season team. But I preferred the Niners going into the playoffs, and I figured that they might go further than the Rams. And over the last month/2 months, aside from that Rams game against the Cardinals, which I guess maybe now that we're seeing how the Cardinals played against the Lions seems like less of a huge deal, the Niners have been playing better football than the Rams, and they've looked like a far better football team.
Yeah, even the Rams against the Seahawks, right? That was a game that, you know, it was flip-flop, right?
I mean, so, if you throw that flag, like, I think the refs probably should have passed interference yesterday night to end the game. The Seahawks have a renewed drive and a chance to go tie the game late. And that's not mentioning we're talking about the Cardinals because they're in the NFC West too, but ever since I talked about how good of a season they're having and how we should respect them among the Green Bay's, the Tampa Bay's, they've dropped 2 straight. They did not look good against the Rams, and they looked even worse against the Lions last week. So I definitely think that you're spot on in saying that the Niners have been playing like the best team in the NFC West so far. I guess, like, how long are you talking? Like, just right now?
Oh yeah, right now, and
right now they definitely
even
are.
Yeah, even you could say even the past month.
Yeah,
and I'll low key back it with you, Jack. I think that this team could be the team that goes furthest out of all NFC West teams in the playoffs. Yeah. You know, Seattle's eliminated.
Yeah,
right. So it's out of those three, and the Rams will probably, you know, they'll have to play a road playoff game, right? And again, we know the Stafford playoff concerns. I know he's been great, but there's still questions there. And Kyler with the inexperience, right? I mean, mm-hmm. we really don't know who's going to win the NFC West now. It's really because if the Cards drop this one, right?
Yeah.
The Rams win, it's theirs. And, you know, with the Niners, I think the Niners are just, they're kind of out of it. I think it's going to be really tough for them to, you know, surpass both these teams and take the crown. But, oh, they're right in it in terms of the wild card race. I don't think any of, you know, the what is it? The Vikings, the Eagles, and the Saints. Those are the three, right? Seven win teams. They're not going to catch them.
Yeah, they're not going to go quietly. And as Jack said in the preseason, I agreed with him. I thought the Niners would go farther. Rams win the division. But, well, actually, no, because I had a bet with a niche that the Niners have a better record just for fun. But look, they're 8-6, and it looks like they're going to be a lock for a top six seed. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't rule out, you know, any shifting happening there. They could potentially move into five, but right now I have them at six. San Francisco is, you know, healthier than they've been in almost, I'd say almost 2 years. Since 2019 is the healthiest they've been. Full complement of offensive weapons. Defensive front seven has so many playmakers, getting great contributions from guys like Arden Key, DJ Jones. And Nick Bosa is just an absolute force. He is
player of the year, Nick Bosa.
Top three edge rusher in football. Look, there's going to be real flaws. And I've noticed it. It's Jimmy Garoppolo's consistency. He needs to prove on a consistent basis that he can. He had a great game against the Falcons. He was surgical, but he needs to prove it on a consistent basis. And also the secondary, we have to mention, can they cover against elite offenses in the playoffs? D'Amico Ryans has been able to mask it pretty well. The defensive front seven's done a good job of that, but we really need to see in January when it really counts if they can cover elite offenses with elite weapons. But we have playmakers of our own. George Kittle, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk's looking better. Kyle Shanahan can always manufacture a great run game. So it's looking really good for the Niners right now. But yeah, I'd say we're a top six seed and a very, very, very dangerous wildcard team.
Look what happens when you play Brandon Ayuk. I mean, look what happens when you actually get him on the field. Your offense looks like competent.
I think it's just they got the two best, the two best players at their position right now are like the two best, you know, I'd say like individual offensive players, and Trent Williams and Kittle, right? Like I feel like impact wise, those two are right up there, right?
Because I don't even know Kittle's if Trent Williams is on path to make the Pro Bowl. You know, that's absolutely horrible.
Because, it's wild because in the Pro Bowl
he'll get the one that matters, which is first team All Pro. Because I'm not that concerned with it.
The reason why that's happening is because in the actual Pro Bowl voting, they do it in alphabetical order, and Williams starts with a W, so he's all the way at the bottom, so no one can see him. And so that's kind of why it's stupid.
It's crazy considering, you know, like, because I think the top five vote getters, two of the five were 49ers players, like including Kyle Juszczyk, a damn fullback. So you know, Niners fans are like in full force trying to get their players from the Pro Bowl. So it's like the fact that Trent Williams, who I'd argue is probably the best player in the NFL this season, and I don't think that's wrong to say. Like,
it's not.
He's been lights out, is not going to go to the Pro Bowl. It's absurd to me.
I remember, you know, I'm going to throw this out there. I had my questions. Remember when they signed him?
I was
concerned with the age and everything. This guy has been incredible. And like I've said, right, a quarterback's best friend, the second most important position in football in my eyes is left tackle. And the Niners have that. And that is honestly one of the biggest reasons why they are 8-6 right now. And, you know, as much as I bash on him and tease him a little bit, I don't want to play him. No one wants to play this team right now. And, you know, despite they could literally match up with anybody right now. And I think they would have to go to Tampa Bay right now as we speak. And that one, okay, maybe, you know, in the playoffs, a different breed, but as of right now in the regular season, they look dangerous, and Niner fans got to be excited because they've shown at least, you know, they still have a lot of those players from that Super Bowl 54 run. So it's not like they're inexperienced. So, you know, it's a good core that they have right now. And again, you know, to kind of round it out, Niners look pretty good.
I take it back. America came around. They just announced Pro Bowl rosters. Trent Williams was one of the three tackles selected for the NFC. I was like, I think you were going to have a riot on your hands, like a mutiny if Trent Williams didn't get in. Your boy Debo got in too.
Let's go. Love that. That is good to see.
I kind of want to look.
Wait, is DK quick. On there? I don't think DK's on there.
Not this year, no.
Oh. Well, Creed Debo Humphrey on it didn't year? Make it.
What?
Okay.
Creed Humphrey didn't make the Pro Bowl.
Debo made it three-car. That's all that matters.
When it comes to offensive, I think offensive linemen, like, they just kind of look at the Pro Bowl and they're like, that might be the single dumbest thing in the NFL. Just because, like, they get
– Yeah, that's why I'm saying all pro is what matters.
All pros matter more.
Conklin didn't make a Pro Bowl last year, and he made a first-team All-Pros.
I think Humphrey is going to be first- or second-team All-Pro center. So, like,
he has to be here.
Man, the Jets got shut out 2 years in a row. That's that's kind of cruddy.
Let's clap it up.
Oh, I want to know who made it over Quinnen Williams.
This guy Quinnen Williams. This guy.
He should have made it last year.
The last 2 years, dude.
Should've I mean, Garrett Crosby, Hendrickson, Buckner, Jones.
I would have put him over Buckner. I think Hayward and Jones. I probably deserve to be over him. I think he's had a better season than Buckner so far. You can go to actually to our Instagrams. We've been doing a top 10 rankings at certain positions, got a top 10 MVP list coming out.
We gotta get the top 10 edge rushers out. That's on me. It'll be out soon.
Someone's gotta be on that. We can get into my takeaway.
Let's do it.
Which is the Patriots are not gonna win the Super Bowl this season. And I think people might get upset at this one just because it's coming off of one loss after nine straight wins. Seven straight wins. But I think that one loss told us a lot. Even like the seven wins told us a lot. I feel like the one loss told us a lot as well. And that's just, it's already hard enough to win a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback. And when you have a rookie quarterback that's still growing and learning like Mac Jones and just hasn't quite shown this season that with the game on the line and the ball in his hands asked to make a play, he just has not shown us that he can quite do that this year. And full disclaimer, I'm not saying that Mac Jones will never be able to do this or Mac Jones can't take the Patriots to the Super Bowl, because I mean, I think we've seen in this offense a player like that, even if they game manage part of the season, if they've got those traits that Belichick can identify and maximize, can be completely dangerous, can go out and win. What did Brady win with the Patriots? Five Super Bowls?
What do you mean?
Four, six. Five? Six?
Six.
They can go out and win six Super Bowls. So, like, full disclaimer, I think Mac Jones can be perfectly fine in New England. I'm just saying, I don't think that's going to happen this season. Just has not. In the biggest games that they've had so far this season, which I would say probably the Colts game and the Bills game, and you can even go back to the Bucs game where he came up just a little bit short. The Colts and the Bills specifically, in the Bills game, they did not want to use him at all, which I think showed you a little bit about what they thought about his ability to go out and win a big game, their thoughts about what he can do. And in this Colts game, just had probably his worst game as a starter so far. I just don't think, as of right now, when it comes down to the AFC playoffs and you're going up against a Justin Herbert, you're going up against a Patrick Mahomes toe-to-toe and you need to go make a play. Like Max Kellerman said, like death beam pointed at the earth. Like, I do not think Mac Jones is going to make a throw to win the Patriots the Super Bowl this year.
I want Iguodala. But he wants Iguodala. Not too long ago, man. I remember the Patriots, you know, pretty much had a stranglehold on the division. That was a fun time. And I still think the Patriots are the favorite to win the division. I'd say the Bills, because I've said not too long ago, I think the Bills were going to run the table and win the division, but I think the favorites odds on should be the Pats. But now you're facing a virtual must win against the Bills. They beat the Panthers last Sunday, and the winner is basically going to get that division title. So if the Patriots win, they'd only need one more win, or Miami has to lose over the final 3 weeks. And if the Bills win, they'd have to beat the Falcons and Jets at home. So while winning the division, you know, hosting a few playoff games, it's always important for any team, but I think for the Pats especially, you don't want a rookie QB. You don't want like Mac Jones going into another venue in a playoff atmosphere. I just think it's going to be a reach for to say he's going to win those games on a consistent basis. And also you could say the same about Josh Allen, but I think it's doable for him. So I think for New England, Sunday is just probably the difference between an early exit and a deep run. So I agree. I don't think the Patriots are going to make win the Super Bowl, because even at home, there's questions. But if you're asking Mac to be on the road, it's even tougher there.
So I actually kind of disagree with Jack's takeaway. Look, I get it. Like Mac, these last couple games, hasn't really lost this team the game, but he hasn't won them the game either. But I will say this, like, I think the Pats are still well in position. I think they're going to make the playoffs, right? And this is Mac's first road loss in his career, right? Or obviously this season. So it's not like he can't win on the road. And even that Bucs game that you mentioned, he played really well. Like he played, you know, he got them in position to win, and Folk obviously missed the field goal, which I thought they, you know, they could have gone for it and tried to got a couple yards closer. So, you know, but that was a long time ago. And I think he's really developed since then. And you're right. They haven't really asked him to do it. And they haven't given him a game plan to where they say, hey, let's, you know, win the game with Mac Jones. But this is still the Patriots. This is still a team coached by Bill Belichick. This is still a team that I will fear no matter what. And I know your takeaway is that they won't win the Super Bowl. So that's saying, you know, that's not saying they can't win a playoff game. That's not saying they can't make the AFC Championship. But I can't count them out. I cannot fully say that they won't, because this AFC is so wide open. We haven't seen them against the Chiefs yet, so we don't know how Belichick will coach against Mahomes. Obviously, Mahomeboy has scored points against Belichick. We've seen him put 43. We've seen him put, I think, 31 in the AFC Championship game. So it's not like, you know, Mahomes is like a scrub whenever they play. But I think Belichick's got pretty good personnel, you know, this time around, a lot better than in 2019 when they had to play, and a lot better in 2018 AFC Championship, in my opinion. So, you know, I can't count him out. It's, you know, strictly because it is Bill Belichick, and strictly because, you know, that defense will put them in position to win those games. And I think they did have a pretty good comeback against the Colts if it wasn't for that JT run, right? You never know, because I think they had, what, 17 unanswered, if I'm not mistaken, or, you know, they were down by, I think it was 20-0, and then they, you know, all of a sudden they resurged. So it's, I can't fully count them out just yet. I, you know, especially in an AFC that's literally beaten each other to hell. Like, they've just, each team is just, you know, one team's beating another, and one team is looking good, one team's looking bad. It's so, you know, uncertain right now. And, you know, whether it's injuries or, you know, COVID, we just don't know. But one thing I know for sure is Bill Belichick will be on that sideline, barring COVID, of course. But, you know, I think he will be there. And, you know, Josh McDaniels will still be there. And that is the one reason why I will say you just can't count him out yet.
I totally understand that argument. I'm just thinking, like, at this moment, I can totally trust Bill and the rest of that coaching staff to make the playoffs, win a playoff
game. Also, sorry, I want to point out one more thing with what you were saying. You know, because they did lose to the Colts, right? Winning seven straight is so hard in the league,
true,
right? They were bound to lose one. That's why I thought this was a game. Remember, we were doing picks and I was just like, oh, this one is so hard, right? So they were bound to lose one. And I think this was kind of a game where it's like, okay, you know, we see where our limitations are. And, you know, they weren't going to win 9-10 straight in a row. So
I think a valuable trait that they're going to have in the playoffs too, they're not going to beat themselves. Like, if you don't do that, you got a great shot at winning the playoffs. It's just, for me, it depends whether if they're at Gillette, then I think they have a much better shot of making a deep run. But if they're on the road, I don't know. It brings up some uncertainty for me, but
hey, they're 7-1 on the road, right? We can't, or sorry, 6-1 or something like that. Like, you can't.
Right. But in a playoff atmosphere, it changes. It changes a lot in
James. Not for Bill, but I agree with Mac.
Not for Bill, but for Mac. Yeah. For Mac, it changes.
I mean, and like the Cardinals, I believe, are still undefeated on the road, if I'm not mistaken. It's like you can still away.
Detroit game.
That was okay. Yeah, I forgot. I didn't see where that one was played. Still, like, you can still come away with questions on the team, even just based on whether they went on the road or not. But I think just right now, and Trigger, to your point, I mean, I feel like Mac kind of did beat himself this past week with a.
You know, right, picks, right, so. But they won't do it on a consistent basis.
Probably this not. This was a nightmare game for them.
Like, I think that pick to Darius, I wanted to point that one out specifically, right? Like, that, I feel like that's a rookie mistake, because you didn't anticipate him coming back to Hunter Henry's route, because they had two routes on the left, and I kind of watched it again. It's kind of him, it's like this yellow zone. He drops back a little bit and anticipates. Yeah. It's kind of like this, you know, skinny post that Henry is kind of running. I know Shrikar is smiling because we
inside
a lot of Madden. It's a inside Madden thing. But yeah, I think, you know, Darius, I think that he's going to make rookie mistakes. But I think Bill will limit that, right? And I think the best part about the Pats is everyone says it, and, you know, you can't refute it. They take away, or at least they try to take away, your best offensive weapon. They kind of did with JT until the very end.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and they're not going to have to play a JT every playoff game, right? I mean, like, he is a superstar. I think the Patriots in their kind of run, can we really say there's an individual player that's been playing as, you know, dominant as JT?
Most AFC playoff teams are going to have a star or a superstar, or if not multiple. Like, just going from the top down, you're facing Mahomes, Hill, and Kelsey, who I would say are all three superstars. Like, you go down the list, you're facing the Herberts, like, I know it's a step down, but Burrow and Chase, like, and even Joe Mixon's a star. Like, you're going to, in the playoffs, if you feel like you're going to face a lot of those. And trust me, their defense has been working to perfection. But at some point, it's going to come down to a playoff game where their defense has made a stand, and now it's on the offense to go out late in the game and make that drive. Like, you know the drive I'm talking about. And while in the playoffs, you kind of need to run the ball, be able to run early and often and establish it. When it comes down to those drives, you're throwing it. And I just don't think right now Mac is going to throw the ball all the way down the field on that drive and score for the Patriots. Like, every single game, you're all right, the way to the Super Bowl. So
it's so ironic, because that was the exact same questions people had with Brady's first run, right? And the Raiders were favored, but they said, can Brady throw to win the Tuck Rule game, right? And he threw for 138 in the fourth and overtime. So can Mac do it? Can Mac repeat it? I think that's the question that we all need to answer, right? because they had the same questions about the Pats back in that same season. And I know we're seeing a lot of parallels. We have to compare it. That's why I just can't count out Mr. Belichick. I can't count him out. That's why I can't fully say no. Just as, you know, remember you were saying that you can't count the Titans as a number one team yet. I think there's just so much uncertainty with especially the AFC teams. There's just so much of that. And I really cannot give you a true Super Bowl team. And if you were to say, like, honestly, any of the seven right now in the AFC, if you were to tell me that they would make the AFC championship, I wouldn't even try and refute you. Like, I wouldn't even say, like, that's a bad argument with any of the seven right now. I'd be like, okay, yeah, you have a real, you know, case to be made.
And at the same time, for most of them, if they lost in the first round, I'd listen to an argument for that too. It's really weird how the AFC is working this year.
Exactly. But it's so awesome. I think that's what makes this season just so special. I mean, you know, we've never seen anything like this.
Playoffs picks are going to be something.
It's going to be
fun.
We're definitely going under 500 in the playoffs.
Come on now. Let's give us a little bit more credit here. Come on.
I'm excited for the playoffs. We got a couple weeks left, but you're in your fantasy playoffs right now. Let's hope that you survived the first round of the playoffs, which I know it's pretty difficult considering just, you know, the twists and turns and how many bad players scored points and how many good players didn't score anything. But we're still here trying to give you guys our best advice, giving you some fantasy start and sits for this week. I'll start it off. My fantasy start for this week is Antonio Brown. And I think some people might be hesitant considering he's coming off the suspension where he was previously injured as well. There were comments about, you know, wasn't sure if he was even going to return back immediately after the suspension. But I think that with the stuff that happened last week and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game, which we haven't even mentioned the fact that they didn't score a single point last week. Brady got shut out by the Saints.
We didn't even mean to talk about it, but hey, I think Dennis Allen, I remember immediately after the game, I told these guys that Dennis Allen, Dan Quinn and Todd Bowles, I said, were the three best defensive coordinators in football. But you know, that was kind of my takeaway from that.
My takeaway from that game, I think Tampa Bay will be fine.
Yeah, I do too.
That got, but that Godwin injury.
That hurts.
I mean, maybe we should have talked about this a little bit because we're not going to have this in the, you know, pick slate, but Levante is out for the regular season.
Yep.
Godwin, Evans is week to week. And Lenny is, I don't know if he's on IR. I think he might
be. He's on IR.
Yeah.
That's
so
why they signed Le'Veon.
Yeah. So exactly. Right. Like those are key pieces. And look, as good as Brady is, right? I mean, he's going to have to be working with some guys that really have to step up in these late, you know, game situations.
I think they can.
I do too. I mean, if you're going to trust anyone, you trust Brady.
Yeah, exactly.
But that defense, I mean, missing spots, missing David is huge, and they've been depleted in the secondary all year. So it's like, they're backed up against a wall. Like that was an alternate takeaway we could have gone with, is like, this might be the most difficult Super Bowl Tom Brady's going to have to, like, this might be his most difficult playoff run. Like,
could be. Yeah. I would, I mean, I still argue the, like, I think people have debated this, but I think this last year's was his best, you know, considering he had to go three games on the road.
Yeah.
But you know, we can argue, but I would give you that. I would give you that. If he could pull it off with all of the stuff
he can, this year, and he can,
he's the one guy you would bet it on. Right. So,
But I mean, all of the terrible things that have happened to the Buccaneers are, I guess, good things for Antonio Brown fantasy football owners, just because we mentioned, my guess is Evans doesn't play. Godwin definitely not going to play. Fournette's definitely not going to play. And so Antonio Brown slots in there as Brady's number one wide receiver target. I feel like he's going to get a ton of volume this week. We've seen how explosive he can be this year, how much Brady likes to go to him. They have honestly, a special connection for only playing a handful of games together over their time as quarterback and wide receiver on the same team. So I think you start Antonio Brown this week. I'm expecting a lot of volume, and we've seen the explosiveness be there. So I'm excited to throw Antonio Brown into some playoff matchups this week.
We'll see. He's got to be that go-to guy for Brady. And can he replicate that possession-esque receiver type that Godwin had maybe?
Mm-hmm.
My start is going to be Joe Burrow against the Ravens. Last week against the Broncos, he didn't have an amazing game, but this week he's going against a Ravens pass defense that is banged up, obviously, with no Marlon Humphrey, no Marcus Peters. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and or Tyler Boyd could have big games, and I think Joe Burrow is going to benefit from it. And I think he is going to throw at will against this defense. So Joe Burrow is my start here.
You know, I love me some Joe Burrow. I will defend him till the end. And I love the Antonio Brown pick. You know, I think the Evans and the Godwin injuries, I think that's the main reason why they're keeping him around, because you never know what they were pretty angry. Remember Arians was like, you know, one mess up and you're kind of out. They got to keep him now. And which, you know, remember, I think he said something along those lines, due to circumstance, we're going to keep him or something like that. They said something along those words. I love the start, and I agree with you, Joe Burrow. We saw last time against the Ravens, he had a 400-yard game, so I'm all for that. My starts, guys I'm confident in, one is Russell Gage. This guy's had above 60 yards in the last 4 weeks and a touchdown, and I think three of them or two of them. He's been sensational. I've always loved how he's been playing, and it's Russell. It's not Rasul. I don't know why I always say that. I think I don't know why. I just keep thinking Russell Gage. And like Russell, I don't know why. It's just a weird thing. It was the same thing with me with like Ronald Darby and Bradley Roby. I had that weird phase, but yeah, I guess, you know, something along, but yeah, he's the start, going up against what, Detroit secondary. I know he's going to have to play Oruwariye.
Yeah, Imani
Oruwariye.
Who's been playing really good. But I think, you know, Gage has been playing better. And then another start would be Tyler Lockett, well-rested, against the Chicago secondary, which played pretty well against Justin Jefferson, but I think it's at Seattle. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I don't know how much I feel on Lockett. I mean, it's going to be snowing, I believe, at Lumen Field. That game's going to move slowly. Both teams want to run the ball, I'm pretty sure. So
that one, I don't know
how much I'm buying Lockett, but Gage is one I'll buy into. Also, I'll throw out a name. Amon-Ra St. Brown. I really liked him coming into the year. He's like,
Is he the leader in catches for them?
I believe he, among wide receivers, yeah. And now that Hawkinson's missed a game, I'm pretty sure
he might pull off Jack's take. So,
well, my take was that he would lead the receiver room too. So anything above that is a bonus.
Golf clap for that.
As much as I'm a little bit biased, he's been killing it in fantasy this. He's gotten, I think, like 23 points or more in two of his last three games. He's just a target funnel right now. Even though it doesn't really look like Jared Goff's going to play in this one, I still think there's a lot of opportunity for St. Brown in this game this week, and showed some touchdown upside now in two of the last 3 weeks too. So I think a little bit to be excited about if you want to throw him into your lineup. My fantasy sit this week is going to be Kansas City Chief running back Darrell Williams. We're getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire back on his feet a little bit after that injury. And this week against Pittsburgh, who has shown that while in the past they haven't been the greatest run defense, you look at the Minnesota game, I still think that as a whole, they're pretty stout against the run. And I think they'll have a pretty good game defending against Kansas City this week. So while some people, I think a game like the Chargers, you want to throw Edwards-Helaire and Williams into your lineup. I think this week, make sure to have Williams out of your lineup, because I just don't see that much upside for who I'm thinking is going to be morphed into even more of an RB2 in his offense.
And Darrell Williams is just inconsistent in general, so I agree with that. My sit is going to be Hollywood Brown against the Bengals. I know I'm staying in this Ravens-Bengals game, but and it's not because of the QB situation, but Hollywood's Brown, he's been on a bit of a slump. He's had five straight games with less than 70 yards. It's just he hasn't, you know, been flashing as much anymore. And especially against a Bengals defense, which is pretty opportunistic at this point, I don't think he's going to turn it around here. Especially in a fantasy playoff scenario, I just wouldn't, you know, trust on him to just break out all of a sudden in a divisional game. So Hollywood Brown's my sit here.
Yeah, so my sit is DeAndre Hopkins. No, I'm kidding. This one really hurts. It really hurts me. It's Adam Thielen. It sucks. You know how much I love him. And it's kind of because, you know, he's kind of dealing with a high ankle sprain, and receivers for that, especially, you know, a type of injury like that for receivers is so hard, especially for, you know, a true route runner that he is. It really sucks for him. And this is going to be his first game back out of it. And he's going to have to go up against the Rams. So he'll either get Darius Williams or Jalen Ramsey. And it's going to be a tough matchup either way. And then I was thinking about Rashad Penny also, just because, you know, I thought he was going to go crazy. And then, you know, against, who did he play? The Rams, and kind of disappointing. So that's another one to maybe think about. And also, you know, Daryl Henderson, just because, you know, him and Michelle, I don't know who's the true, you know, back in that, offense because Michelle got more carries this previous week. So those are kind of the sits that I would kind of be, you know, at least wary about. You know, I could throw in Terry McLaurin again, but I think we all kind of now know that we just can't rely on him as much as, you know, it sucks. Man. Ohio State guy, but yeah.
Get him out of the Washington football team quarterback jail. Like
I literally saw a TikTok on all the quarterbacks that like I've had thrown to him. It's like Case Keenum, Colt McCoy, like Kyle Allen. Alex Smith, Taylor Heineke, and then now who is it? Garrett Gilbert. Free my man, dude.
He's looking like Allen Robinson. And it's funny, you get Allen Robinson a better quarterback, and he turns to nothing with Justin Fields. It's funny. Hopefully, the same thing doesn't happen to Terry McLaurin because I think we all believe in the talent there. You guys ready to get into picks?
Let's do it.
Favorite segment. Let's do it.
All right. So Shrikar has taken a commanding lead over the past 2 weeks. He's really clutched up. He's got 144 wins. Fans, you guys voting on our Instagram, 138 wins. Then I'm 136 and Anisha's at 134. So we have a hell of a lot of work to do to get back there. We got 3 weeks to do it. Luckily, I think we're going to have a decent amount of variance this week because there's some really good games. Tomorrow night, we're recording this on Wednesday. So probably if you're listening to this on Thursday, Thursday night football game is 49ers Titans. Don't really have, you know, time to talk about that one. And it's going to be coming out.
I think we could spoil it. Like we're all
going. Yeah, I mean, we're all going with the Niners, I believe. So you can go vote on that on our Instagram. If you're watching this on Thursday, should still be up if you're watching it before game time. But the first game we're going to talk about, Shrikar, with your almost 8-game lead on me and 10-game lead on Anish, you can start with Colts and Cardinals.
Whoa, hold on. We're not going to talk about just quick word on Browns Packers or no?
We can end with Browns Packers.
Sure. Okay, we can end with Browns. Okay, perfect. Okay.
I'm very torn on a lot of picks in this segment, but I'm torn on this game because the Colts are playing better. But Carson Wentz threw for 57 yards against the Pats. Like if he's got to win this game, good Lord, I don't trust him. Cardinals haven't played well, but look, they're also desperate. Colts are desperate too, but I feel like at home, the desperation factor might side a little bit towards the Cardinals. I guess I'll take Arizona. I'm talking myself into it because they're at home. They have to win this game, but I also wouldn't be surprised if the Colts won or even blew them out. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Kyler could have a huge game or, you know, Taylor could have a giant game on the other side and it mitigates it. I don't know. It's a very weird game, but I'll take Arizona for now, though.
I'll go. We talk about the trenches a lot, and we say that games are often won in the trenches. And I think the times that they aren't, it's won by just pure outside skill position talent. And the Cardinals, I think, are built to win outside of the trenches when they're healthy. And I think right now they're dealing with some injuries. I'm not even sure Kyler's completely 100%. He hasn't been playing at his 100% capability, so it kind of makes you wonder. Hopkins obviously out for the rest of the regular season. Some other guys dealing with some nagging injuries. And even then, in the trenches too, we saw them last week kind of get pounded on the ground by the Detroit Lions, and now they're going to face the Indianapolis Colts, who offensive line playing like one of the best in football. Jonathan Taylor, the best back in football this year. So it's just kind of a recipe for success for the Colts and not for the Cardinals. A healthy Cardinals team, I really would have thought about it. And if I hadn't seen them play the last couple of weeks, it probably would have been an easier decision to go over to Arizona. But I just think Indianapolis, they should be the favorite in this matchup just because I think the way that these two teams pair up with each other.
They win this game and the Titans lose. They are tied. I am praying that the Colts can somehow, some way, because Browns are over. So now I got to root for my guy. I got to root for him. I just want him to be in the playoffs, man. And I'm not even, you know, as Jack kind of stole what I was going to say about the trenches, because, you know, even with their backup center in, I think his name is Brian Pinter, they were still dominant. And, you know, this was a huge statement win against the Pats that the Colts did at home. And look, they don't have to deal with any, you know, crappy weather. This is going to be in Arizona, you know, closed stadium. So you don't have to worry about that much. They'll have to travel across the country, but, you know, I think they can handle it. And they got that guy, number two. I think he's going to make enough plays to win and not plays that will lose him the game. That's why I got the Colts here. You got to ride with the hot hand here. You know, it's not like they're riding some like 9-game win streak to where it's like, okay, it's bound to, you know, for one to end. They've been playing some good football. And, you know, as Jack mentioned, I love that, you know, mentality that you win in the trenches, you win the game. So I got the Colts here.
Trigger, what do you think about Ravens and Bengals, another high-profile matchup this week?
Well, for my fantasy, you know, start and sits, you can probably get an idea of who I'm going with. I'm going to go with the Bengals, and I think this game, it just comes down to what can Lamar do if he plays? The defense stinks. They don't run the ball as effectively anymore. Andrews has been amazing. But, you know, the rest of their receivers, as I said with Hollywood Brown, I have trouble trusting them. I like the Bengals, but they're just a weird team because at times they look great. Other times they look terrible. The problem for Baltimore, I said it before, who is going to cover Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd? Their pass defense, it just might mess them up in this game. So for that reason, I'm going to take Cincy.
I'm taking Cincinnati for the exact same reasons. We saw the Ravens secondary struggle when going up against that trio in the first game. And like I mentioned in the other game, most games are won in the trenches. Both these teams, while the Ravens, I think they've got a pretty decent offensive line. The rest of the three lines, I mean, meaning both Cincinnati's and the Ravens defensive line are kind of subpar. And so this game's kind of, I think, going to be decided by the skill position players. And right now, I mean, just the Bengals wide receivers are licking their chops to be able to go up against this Ravens secondary another time. And I just think even with Lamar's status up in the air, I think I'd trust Burrow over Huntley and over Lamar in this game. And I don't know. Right now, I feel like the Bengals are just a hungry team. They were able to kind of get that win out of the mud against Denver. I don't know. I'm believing in the Bengals a little bit right now, and I think they match up well with the Ravens.
Do we have contingency on this game?
Yeah, we can definitely. I mean, at this point in the season, with everything going on with COVID, let's just say we got contingency on every game as long as it's before game time, Anish.
Okay. Because, yeah, with contingency, I'm going to take Baltimore right now.
Wow.
I think that's if Lamar plays. If he doesn't, okay. So, and here's why. I think, look, the Ravens, and because, you know, my mentality is the Ravens have had three straight absolutely demoralizing losses. The Pittsburgh game where it was to go for two and they failed, right? The Browns game where they were right there and it was just one fourth down stop that kind of derailed them, right? After an insane second half comeback. And then again, the Packers game where they played their absolute hearts out against the best team in the NFC and everyone's power rankings team number one. And they were again, just one play away from taking it. So three straight demoralizing losses, right? And that can only just, you know, after going 8-3, now you're 8-6, really fighting for not just the division, but the playoff spot. Right, where at the time you were the number one seed in the AFC, it sucks, right? And I think just based off of that, and I feel like, you know, a divisional game, if Lamar plays, they're just going to rally around that. I think they have something there. They have, you know, they still have some playmakers. And again, with Cincy, right, they only dropped 15 against a Denver team that they, you know, had enough firepower to handle, right? And a Cincy team that Shrikar mentioned is up and down. I think as of right now, I'm obviously contingency. I think if Lamar doesn't play, or even I think just I want to see his status. If he's like a game time decision and then they just say like, you know, right as he's active, I might probably will switch to Cincy. But I think he's on track, right? I think there's just, you know, with
he didn't
with
practice today. I know that.
Yeah. So I think, you know, with a lot of riding it on Lamar, I'm going to take the Ravens for now, but that could definitely change. But I think, you know, I think my thing is if he's a go by Friday, I think I'll stick with them. But if he's like a game time decision, I think I'm going to probably bounce out of it.
Yeah. Shrikar, Bills, Patriots.
I think the Bills are going to win. Wow. The hype around the Pats has died down a little. And that, look, we talked about it before. That game against Indy worried me because especially if you're going against Buffalo, if they're down in that game, and Mac Jones has to bring them back. I don't trust him. I just mean like they can't put the game in Mac's hands for them to win against Buffalo. And I think the win last time, the weather, it really helped New England because it basically took out Buffalo's pass game. And that's Buffalo's biggest strength. And it's also New England's biggest weakness, the pass game. And weather looks fine for this game. I don't think anything's going to drastically change. And even though the Bills, you know, they're one dimensional on offense, I think that's only going to really affect them in January. I think in the regular season, they'll be fine. I just don't think New England is going to sweep them. I think, as I said before, I had that prediction that Buffalo is going to run the table, win the division. And I think here with the weather looking nice, Buffalo's pass game getting back into it, I think they're going to win this game.
We're actually getting snow in Foxborough for this one. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think they'll be fine. It's better than the wind.
Yeah, the only 6-mile-an-hour winds, I think, projected right now. Give me New England in this one. And it's another case of, like, while I think that I might prefer the Bills long-term or maybe just – it right now it's just a matchup thing, especially when you go back and you look at last game, you see that what the Patriots were able to win without. They were able to win without passing the ball almost entirely. And now I think they can be – a little bit more of a, you know, a two-headed monster on offense and give Mac the ability to even throw the ball, making defensively it much more difficult for the Bills. Plus, I think all those pass plays that they did not use and they did not show the Buffalo Bills, they've now have in their arsenal to use in this one. And I kind of think that this might be one where emotion kind of gets the best of the Bills. After you saw that last game, obviously the reporter asking the stupid question in the interview room, you saw McDermott coming out and you know, making comments like we've never seen him say before, saying, you know, don't give Bill too much credit for this one. It's like you saw a little bit of emotion and anger coming out of the Bills after that last game. And while, you know, it could be used for good, I also think, it, you know, it could be the point where it kind of tips away. And I definitely don't think that in the snow, the Bills are going to come out and beat New England again, because I think we're going to see a slight parallel to last game. But I just think that this benefits more the Patriots than it does the Bills.
This one's tough, you know, because it is what there. It's only been like 3 weeks, you know, since they last faced each other. But I will say this, right, that the Pats, they had such a one-sided game plan that it's so hard to prepare for them coming into this game, because you really don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to do the same thing, or are they going to finally do something dynamic like they have in every other game? That's, you know, what it comes down to for me. And I think I'm going to take the Patriots again, as I was saying, right? I can't count this team out. You know, one loss, who bounces back better? You rarely see Belichick lose back-to-back. So even in the 7-9 season, I don't think he lost. I think he lost back-to-back once. So, you know, I got the Pats here. I think they're, you know, again, they've got the, you know, skill positions on defense to win. And again, kind of slow this offense down. I love Josh Allen. If anyone can do it, it's him. This would be a huge, huge morale boost, as Shrigar mentioned it. I think if I will back your take, Shrigar, if they win this game, I will completely back your take.
I'm going to start for Dolphins Saints. I'm going with Miami in this one. I think that Miami also profiles as a good team to go out and beat the Saints. The Saints defense has been on an absolute tear as of late. But I think that Miami is an offense that's built to kind of take away some of what the Saints do well on defense. The Saints, I think, have had some of the best secondary coverage in the league this year. And I think Miami is one of those teams where they don't need to rely on the receivers getting separation deep down the field or even at the intermediate level. There's a lot of, you know, short passes, run after the catch. Look what Jalen Waddle has done for them this year. And on defense, the Dolphins have been a stalwart unit just like the Saints have. So I really like the Dolphins coming into this one. I think they match up well against the Saints, and I think they pull out a win on Monday Night Football.
These teams, like, it's a race to 10 wins. Yeah. Taysom Hill sucks. Tua sucks on any ball that he's got to throw past the sticks. And by the way, like, Tua's an efficient – he's an efficient quarterback, but he's not a great quarterback. I think there's a difference there. I'm going to take the Saints in a close game at the Dome, but it's going to be tough to watch Tua versus Taysom in primetime. I mean, that – sheesh. But – I'm going to take the Saints. I think they're riding. I don't think they've hit that emotional peak yet off that Bucs win. So I think they're going to be riding an emotional high coming into this game, but I actually think it's going to work in their favor. So I'm going to take the Saints at home. And I think for the Dolphins, you know, what does this mean for the playoffs? I mean, that might be the nail in the coffin.
I think this is probably their toughest game in this win streak that Miami's going to have to do, just because, as Shrikar mentioned, at the Dome, prime time, right? And coming off that defensive masterpiece that the Saints pulled through, right? I mean, they're going to ride high with this, right? And again, Miami still has a little bit of the COVID issue. So I'm actually going to back Shrikar and take the Saints here. They'll get Sean Payton back. I think they got to go heavy on the run with Kamara. I mean, you can't give him 11 touches. That 11 attempts, come on. Like, that just makes me mad. And the Dolphins almost gave that game away to the Jets, remember? They kind of had to rally late. So I think they've been hanging by a thread. And, you know, as we've seen, win streaks, they don't last so long. No team is ever going to finish on this, like, 9-game win streak that the Dolphins fans are hoping for. I think this is the game where they kind of blow it. I'm not saying I trust Taysom more than Tua, and you guys know I like Tua. I think he's come along really well these last few weeks, but I think it ends here just because, again, like I said, the Saints defense has been on a roll. It's at the Dome, as Shrikar mentioned. And I think, you know, Marshawn Lattimore is going to have to shadow one of those guys, and I believe he can.
Yeah, I think you shadow him, but when you're throwing screens and you're throwing slants, there's not a lot of
corner. I mean, I think he'll shadow Parker, and Parker's
the deep guy. If they're throwing screens, that DeMario Davis.
Yeah, that's true.
They have the linebacker.
I think DeMario Davis is not. They'll get there. I love their pass rush. I don't like the Dolphins' O-line. Again, as Jack mentioned, right, trenches. I trust the Saints in the trenches a little bit more in this game.
Yeah, I definitely I get that one. I think back for Miami, like I parallel it to the Baltimore game a couple weeks ago. Like, I don't think they're going to let the Saints get the running game going. I don't think they're going to let Taysom Hill get out on the edge. You saw what they did to Lamar. So I just think that it's going to be definitely be a defensive battle. I mean, like, expect there to be basically no points scored, kind of like last week in the Bucs Saints one. But I don't know. For some reason, I'm feeling the Dolphins. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
Yeah, we got one more on the slate, actually.
Oh, yeah. Who you got? You got the Packers or you got the Browns?
Can you guys go first?
Packers.
Hey, it's Chris. It's Christmas time. Can I put contingency?
What's your contingency? Is your contingency that, like, if the Browns end up winning the game, you pick the Browns?
Exactly, yes.
All right.
Yes. No, okay. All right.
As our Christmas
okay, how about this? You, if Nick you Mullins plays,
I'm gonna say no.
If Nick Mullins plays, give me the Browns. If he doesn't, which is probably gonna happen, it's probably gonna be Baker. Give me the Pack. You know, it sucks. It sucks. I'm gonna have my Christmas spoiled by a Packers dominating win. I just had to bring it up just because, you know, the Browns season is over, but, you know, at least we could pick them one last time before. You know, because the next games, yeah, it'll be Browns Steelers and Browns Bengals. Maybe we'll put them on the slate. Maybe we won't. But at least I could enjoy it one more time and say, you know.
Yeah, Santa's Christmas gift to you is the Browns basically being eliminated for the playoffs.
If they somehow win, I'm going to come on this show and I'm going to be elated. I'm going to be so happy. But as I said in the beginning, no.
No reason for hope.
Nah.
No, but we do hope that you guys actually have a good Christmas coming up in a couple of days. You're going to see football on Christmas, which is obviously going to be awesome. And we hope that you guys enjoyed this episode, a little bit of Christmas special for the Cold Hard Truth. Obviously, like we say every time, go vote for some of those games that we picked on our Instagram. You vote for every single game of the week. And right now you guys are the closest thing that we have to dethroning Shrikar this season. So keep doing well. Then again, Anish and I want to come beat you guys because losing to the fans it's not something that makes you very happy.
Hey, as long as Jamicky doesn't have a full season under his belt.
I was texting. So, yeah, you know, they made fun of me last week for never winning a real.
We can still laugh.
I know. I want to put this out there. They laughed at me for not winning a full season yet. But I told Anish, you know what I've never done? I've never come in last as he
so
is.
So that's why we need to put money on it.
Bragging rights is perfectly enough for me.
Wait, has Shrikar come last both times?
I want to say fans came in last year.
No, fans came last.
Okay, fans came in last. Okay.
All right. But I've never come in last. So if you come in last, I can hold it over your head just as much.
Yeah, so it'll be a race between me and Jack who comes in last. So maybe we'll put up a poll who you guys got. But yeah,
the consolation ladder.
These five. Or sorry, we were different on one out of these four. So we'll see, you know, in the other picks if we differ. Maybe, I mean, oh yeah, the Ravens contingency. But
yeah
I think I'm leaning since.
We pretty much have contingency on every game.
Yeah, we'll put contingency on everything. But anyways, that's all we got for you guys this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas. Happy holidays. However you celebrate, we hope it's good. We'll be back next week to talk about a lot of the Christmas games, some of the other games of the week, and probably all four at least of the games that we picked in today's episode. But anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. We've been the Cold Hard Truth Podcast, and we will see you next time.